Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Not to work with them, not to work for them. Well, 4 years later, we stand here tonight showing that it is possible to put doing your job first, to put working together first, to fight for what you believe in, yet still stand by your principles and get something done for the people who elected you. The biggest thing I've learned over the last 4 years about leadership is that leadership is much less about talking than it is about listening, about bringing people around the table, listening to each other, showing them respect, doing what needed to be done to be able to bring people together and to achieve what we needed to achieve to move our state forward. Now listen, I know that if we can do this in Trenton, New Jersey, maybe the folks in Washington, D.C. should tune in their TVs right now. See how it's done.
I don't like playing the coulda, woulda game, and I don't believe in moral victories. You lose or you win, and that's it. But having said that, folks, do you realize what could have happened if the Republican establishment would have supported Cuccinelli yesterday, in addition to him winning, I mean? The GOP apparently didn't want to win Virginia because they didn't want the Tea Party getting credit for it. But we can also add to that, I think we have to be honest and say, that they didn't care about repudiating Obamacare either, because if there was a place to plant the flag in opposition to Obamacare in the midst of this rollout, it was in that election.
I'm obviously disappointed by tonight's outcome, and I know you are too. I am immensely proud of the campaign we ran. We were very heavily outspent, but I'm proud that we ran on first principles and serious ideas based on those principles. We fought for the principles that were first articulated for the whole world by Virginians. And this is no ordinary governorship. This is the seat first occupied by Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson, a thought that every time I considered it, I found very humbling. Serving as governor of Virginia is a special honor, and I hope Terry McAuliffe is successful in the role. Virginia needs that to happen. I'm honored by the support we had from many people across the Commonwealth. And though we didn't come out on top, you have made a difference. And tonight, you have sent a message. You have sent a message tonight.
Mark Levin immediately picked up the phone, and he had something he wanted to add to that conversation. Hello, Mr. Levin. How are you today?
Hey, boys. You know, I happen to live in this state.
Yeah.
So I happen to see what's going on. I happen to be at these rallies where none of the RNC upper staff take time. Why? We have 50 state races going on here. We have one competitive state. They're talking about $3 million they've spent here. That $3 million was primarily authorized and has been spent as a result of a report they put out after the election. You remember? Where they did an anal exam of themselves and they said, we need to have offices and minority areas. And
the autopsy they did.
That has nothing to do with turning out the vote on election day. You know who's manning the polls I voted at? My neighbors. You know who's getting people out here? Church groups, Tea Party groups, activists, conservatives, taxpayer activists. That's who. The RNC isn't anywhere here. They haven't been on the air. It is infuriating to me. Is this what the Republican Party's going to do when it comes to the next big election? They are fooling them.
Sometimes it bears a great resemblance to the first. Our responsibility now is to point out every discrepancy between the campaign promise and the post-election performance of these people who sang our song. It's time to quit trying to organize the same old minority every 2 years and start informing the new majority every day who has been responsible for bringing us to the brink of disaster, economic disaster. Our task is now one of education and information.
Was Chris Krusty the Clown's victory in New Jersey and conservative Ken Cuccinelli's loss in Virginia the result of sabotage? It appears to be so, but not by the Democrats. It was the Republicans who engineered the subterfuge. If this is the shape of things to come, the 2014 midterm elections are not about merely defeating the Democrats, but they must be about purging the red Rhino Run Kleck, the consultant, lobbyist, and establishment complex, which is sabotaging conservatism and conservative libertarianism within the grand old party. The Republican-Democrat duopoly persists. Sucks, that's the way that it is. At the national level, there are only two choices, elephants and jackasses. The GOP is the only wing of the duopoly that has any conservative candidates in it. The rhinos, Republicans in name only, want you to fall in line behind the big government corporatists like Krusty from New Jersey, and they want you to think real conservatives like Ken Cuccinelli are extremists and they lose races. The truth is the opposite. If you want more rhinos that lose races, rhinos like Bob Dole, Jihad Jane McHammed from Arizona, and Mitt Romney, then follow the New Jersey path. But if you want conservative victories, constitutional victories, smaller government victories, if you want federalism victories, if you want lower taxes victories, if you want to end the Fed, eliminate the IRS, roll back the Leviathan government, you need victories like you had with Reagan in 1980 and Gingrich in 1994, then you have to follow the Virginia path. If you want constitutionally limited government restored, if you truly believe in liberty and sovereignty, then you must purge the surrendering, lying, cheating, sabotaging, squishy rhinos from the GOP. We need more conservative and libertarian grassroots working together, and we need a force multiplier. Wake up the sheep before it's too late. You have a choice. Work hard now to further liberty by having elections like the one that was robbed by the Republicans in Virginia succeed, and no more crap like what they pulled in Jersey. Victories without conservatism are hollow victories. Real conservatives and real libertarians have to take over the GOP, or else watch the status push their imperial agenda into our oblivion, because we are overextended militarily and economically, and it is coming to an end. The Republican Party is the only established party on the national level that has any chance of doing this. The Democrats are completely gone over to socialism, and the Democrat wing of the Republican Party may be in charge of the RNC, but you have to change that. Now is the last chance to stop those who want to fundamentally transform our republic into an empire abroad and a police state at home. If you love America, if you love liberty, crush the rhinos. You are live with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from enemy-occupied Northern Virginia, right outside of the Imperial City.
And this is Frog from the West Coast, and which used to be a beautiful free state. And since I got back from Alaska, it is now an arm of California, and I think the worst of them came up here and took over. My thoughts on that little, that multiple clip that you merged together there, because I remember, you know, the rest of the conversation in those clips. Priebus was being interviewed on that radio show that Levin was on. That I guess is somewhere in Virginia, some local show that you guys have access to. And the guy was asking him some tough questions about why'd you only spend $3 million and $9 million were spent the last gubernatorial election when Michael Steele was in power. So I have $6 million less on one of the most important states. You know, first of all, it's one of the early 2014 election cycle and a key state in 2016. Why wasn't the RNC involved? He asked him that. And then Priebus went on some, you know, diatribe about, oh, you know, we spent money at the grassroots level and all this, blah, 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 blah. And it pissed Levin off so bad he called in. Because Levin lives there and was involved in the race. And he's saying, and what he was saying there, because when Levin gets really fired up, and if you don't have the before and after, sometimes you get a little confusing. But what he was saying is most of that money was spent, and it had nothing to do with Cuccinelli. A lot of that money went down ticket, down ballot, and then also had a lot to do with their, what he used to talk about, their anal probe or whatever. You know, their, I missed that the first time. I was rolling on the floor in my living room when I heard that. But, you know, when they did that autopsy, you know, the GOP autopsy where they spent millions of dollars and they had this group of people who were all these, you know, Romney's rhinos, people from his campaign, you know, they had nobody on that autopsy research from the Tea Parties, you know, somebody like Sarah Palin who knows how to win across the country, people like Newt who did the Republican Revolution, you know, people who understand how to build grassroots movements, the people who donate, the people who work the street. You know, they had none of those people in that autopsy. We covered that a long time ago. I don't want to go too deep into it. But what happened in Virginia is inexcusable and unforgivable. I mean, I don't know anything else to say. These people wanted Cuccinelli to lose. Now, here's the thing about Cuccinelli. He is a true conservative. Now, you may not like him because he's religious and believes in, you know, pro-life and those kind of things, and that's going to rub people the wrong way with their, you know, the liberal bend in people in the country. But outside of that, his governing, his ideas of low taxation, he was the first guy to sue on Obamacare issues. You know, he believes in first principles. I mean, all that stuff. He is a true conservative. And he was way behind with the government shutdown because that, you know, Reid and Obama did, but they made the nation believe that the Republicans did it. And so his poll numbers dropped, and the guy made up double digits in a blink of the eye when Obamacare rolled out. He could have won, and I've seen articles, you know, I've been trying to, it's that typical thing when we come into a show where we're racing, you know, with our hair on fire, you know what I mean, trying to get ready for the show. But I've looked at a lot of stuff across the field. There's questions on voting issues. I don't know, I don't have an opinion on the third party guy because I don't know where he pulled his votes from, you know what I mean. There's varying degrees on that. Some people believe he was the reason. You know, he was pretty liberal, so he probably pulled a lot of liberal votes too. So he made it, you know, may have canceled himself out. I'm not saying, I just don't have an opinion on that yet. But exit polling showed that Cuccinelli won, and that was a viable article that I read earlier today. So anyway, here we are. You know, we've been talking, you and I have been talking about the importance of 2014 for a long time. because, you know, the 2010 Tea Party, yeah, since 2012, but the Tea Party, you know, sweep in 2010 was a record-breaking win. It shocked the Democrats, and the Democrats got busy and built their machine, you know, to rally against that wave, that grassroots wave across the country. Sorry, I'm stuttering. And they built their machine. And here's the scary part, and this brings right back to what we're talking about tonight. The Republican establishment, and I don't even want to call these guys Republicans because they don't fit anything that the Republican Party stands or claims it stands for, what's in their party platform. You know, the squishes, whatever, the rhinos, the progressives. I think they're progressives. I think they're the Democrats of 20, 30 years ago. These people are terrible. You know, when you look at McConnell and Boehner and Cantor and McCain, I mean, they're Democrats, period, in a report. Anybody that's got some age on them and has bothered to, you know, research politics for the last 20, 30 years, these are Democrats. And they're in control in key positions in the GOP. We look at the changes in the rules and the battle that's going on with that, which is basically setting it up so they can run their, you know, Crispy or Paul Ryan or some other squish, you know, Democrat with an R on their jersey, and just blow everybody out, you know, using big money. And they think that they can bypass the grassroots, the people, you, me, the people who get out there, knock on doors, put out signs, raise money, you know, those people. They think, I don't know what's wrong with these people, if they're just sick, perverted, evil people, but Romney loss was proof you cannot win without the grassroots. And if you step on them hard enough, you know, Dole, Bush, Romney, McCain, Romney, you step on them hard enough and they just stay home. You know, the GOP.
Or they vote for somebody else.
Or they vote for somebody else. But, you know, the GOP is down to 23%. But that doesn't mean the independents aren't conservative. It just means they're sick to death of these people. And that's where we're at today. That's just kind of a reach into the past a little bit and fast forward. But when I looked at Virginia and how close that race was, and then I saw the after articles and information, Michael Steele's interview, the one that we just couldn't get the proper formatting for on 11-6, was incredible, because here's a guy who helped deliver some of the biggest wins across the country for the GOP in history. And he's talking about, and you have the other clip, I'm sure, but he's talking about this stuff from a guy who was the national chairman, who was part of the biggest successful wins in the history of the GOP. This guy's got some insights. And when these guys talk, people should listen, because, and I've said this for 2 years, the people in control of the GOP hate you if you're a Christian. They hate you if you're conservative. They really hate you if you have a Tea Party label. And they hate you if you're a libertarian Republican. And look at how they treated Ron Paul. I mean, Ron
Yep.
Paul brought in youth. He brought in minorities. He brought in, you know, more
He showed them how to win.
You know, liberty-minded. And they beat the living crap out of him through the whole primary. They even actually kept his numbers out of reports. You'd watch the news, they'd go, oh, well, first guy is so-and-so, and then number three is Santorum. And Ron Paul would be like number two on the poll. They wouldn't even put his information on the board. I mean, it was disgusting what they did. This is what you're battling. Cuccinelli's situation doesn't surprise me, because I you know, I lived and breathed the primary, first one in my life, and it was – If I wasn't a stronger person, I would have walked away from politics, period. But I'm a fighter, and I realize that the war, these people will sell our country down the drain, the GOP elite and the elite or the leadership in the House and Senate. They voted for every debt ceiling increase. They've done nothing to stop Obamacare. You know, they folded when it got hot. I mean, these guys are a bunch of squishes. And so
yep.
If you want a country, it's time to pay attention. If there was ever a call to paying attention, it's now. Virginia just nailed it. They put more money into Christie's campaign, who was double digits ahead of his opponent, than they did in Cuccinelli, who would have been an important state for the 2016 elections. I mean, that right there should be enough to make you just flaming mad. Go ahead.
Yep, it has made me flaming mad, and you're absolutely right. I mean, but the way I see it, what happened in Virginia was an absolute conservative victory. Now, I'm saying this as somebody who has to live under this new Democrat disaster, criminal douchebag who got elected governor, and we got a real loser Democrat governor. We could have had E.W. Jackson, who's a good guy, and we still haven't finished counting the votes for Attorney General. Mark Obenchain seems to be ahead. He's the Republican. But you know the kind of crap that goes on when races are close and all the cheating and crap that goes on. So hopefully we'll at least secure the AG spot. But here's the thing. You mentioned a couple of clips, Michael Steele and the Levin's anal probe response to Priebus on WMAL, which is a local D.C. station here. I've got those clips, and we'll get to them, and we'll go in more depth on them. But I just want to remind people of a few things. Number one, if little Prince Pubic wasn't the RNC chairman, Ken Cuccinelli would have won. If you had Michael Steele as chairman, Ken Cuccinelli would have won. If you had Mark Willis as chairman, Ken Cuccinelli would have won. If you remember, we did some shows back when Mark Willis was challenging little Prince Pubic for the RNC chairmanship, and he only needed three states to get nominated, and the squishes in the RNC caved and just gotten lockstep behind the Kleck choice, which was little Prince Pubic, and that was just an embarrassing disaster, and that was a chance that the GOP had to actually move in the right direction, not only towards conservatism and libertarianism, but actually to win victories. They're not going to win like this. I mean, the whole point behind this disaster was to show you that big government rhino douchebags like Chris Krusty from New Jersey win, and extremist Tea Party conservatives like Ken Cuccinelli lose. Well, that's true if your own party's working against you. That's going to happen. Okay, but the simple fact is Ken Cuccinelli lost by less than 2%. Less than 2%. And that 2% came right from where I'm sitting, where you have a bunch of federal government employees, a bunch of illegal aliens who probably voted, and you have a bunch of contractors that, you know, make their money feeding off the government teat. They're the ones that put it over the edge. But Cuccinelli nearly closed that gap. And he would have closed that gap if the RNC had supported him, but they didn't. And as you pointed out, they dropped $9 million on Bob McDonnell back in 2009, and he won, and he turned out to be a big douchebag rhino who gave us a $7 billion tax increase in Virginia, one which Ken Cuccinelli was against. Okay, they only spent $3 million this time, and most of it was on technology and bullshit that didn't even have anything to do with grassroots. Ken Cuccinelli has won all of his races, all the state Senate
big
races,
numbers.
His race
big
for
numbers,
Attorney General,
right.
based on grassroots, people power, sweat capital, not on big money. He's never raised big money because the big money's never been behind him, and the reason that the big money wasn't behind him here was not only because the Republicans wanted him to lose, but not by much. Here's why they didn't want to lose by much. They wanted him to lose so they can box in Tea Party, conservatives, liberty movement, anybody that actually believes in the Constitution instead of the Republican Party. That's who they wanted to box in. But they didn't want to lose by too much because they want to be able to say that the reason that he closed the gap towards the end was because of Obamacare, and that's what we're going to run against. They wanted Obamacare to come online. They want people to feel the pain so that they can run against it for 2014, because they think the only way they can win is to speak against the problems that were created by the Democrats, which only were created because the Republicans allowed them to create them, and they without having to do anything about them. That's their game. They want more Chris Krusty's and less Ken Cuccinelli's, and until you change that game, it doesn't matter who wins. I mean, the whole idea that, well, you know, we got to take back the House. We got to keep the House and take back the Senate. Well, if you take back the Senate with losers like Mitch McConnell and Bob Corker and Jihad Jane McComet and Lindsey Lightness Loeffler's Gramnesty, do you really think that's a victory for the Constitution, for conservatism, for liberty? That's just a victory for the Republican douchebags. Republican douchebags
right.
that don't even follow their own platform.
Look at, and this is so simple to do, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to throw this out here, is look at their voting records. You go online, You know, we didn't have this years ago, but you can go online and look at the stuff these guys have voted for and pushed. And when you look at it, what you and I have done, and look at their records, they are Democrats. The things that they push and they stand for. You know, you got to get past this R&D thing. That's the important thing to understand here. What is the Tea Party? I was looking at a poll. 78% of the people in this country want to audit the Fed because they think something's broken. You know, because why? Because of the Internet, not because of the news, because every day the news wants to tell you about the stock market, which is all a bunch of fake printed money because of quantitative easing, and the big banks and the investors are sitting on that money. It's not getting into the marketplace. And, of course, when it does, we're going to have inflation, more inflation. But, you know, you look at these situations and what has gone on, and it's an absolute mess. And if we don't get some people, but you look at what the Tea Party is. If you say, I want to audit the Fed. If you say, I'm sick of the federal government stealing my money. If you say, I think the federal government's too big. If you say, I'm tired of endless wars. I believe in a strong military, but I think what we're doing is crazy around the world. If you say, I'm tired of paying taxes, I'm tired of having my taxes raised when the government screws up. You know, if you say, I'm tired of bailing out corporations who are crushing our whole economic system and then bailing them out so those guys can make a fortune, live like kings, while I work harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and probably part-time in today's economy. You know, if you say those things, then you're a Tea Partier. It's that simple. I don't know what people think the Tea Party is. Oh, they're a bunch of crazy Christians. No, they're not. The Tea Party was an economic movement. It was not a Christian. Yeah, there's a lot of Christians in there because typically Christians have a strong opinion about government's role in our lives. And they're more community-based, you know, small government, et cetera, et cetera. But when you look at the Tea Party, it's taxed enough already, tea. It was not, I want to convert you and I want to beat you to death over abortion. That was not what the Tea Party was formed for. So if you believe in those basic fundamental things that I just spit out, then you are one. And it's amazing when you say, well, there's only 28%. I stepped on you and kept talking. I'm sorry.
No, keep going. But, I mean, that's the whole point, right?
Well, when they say there's 28%, you know, 28% of the people have a positive view of the Tea Party, and yet 78% of the people want to audit the Fed, that's a marketing gimmick that the Republican Rhino elite RNC and the left has beat up the Tea Party in the market. Oh, these extremists, and they held a gun to our head, and they closed government down. No, they didn't. Reid did. And so what they've done is they've created this negative image of the Tea Party when, in fact, it's just people going, I'm sick of the federal government. I'm sick of the corruption. I don't care if you're Democrat, liberal, or independent. If you're sick of corruption, you are Tea Party. It's that simple. And the dialogue needs to change. I don't know if they need a new name, you know, because the old name has been beat up so bad in the news, or, you know, it's
true.
Like conservatives. People don't understand
yep.
what a conservative is.
Or what a libertarian
no.
is. I mean, but that's
no.
the problem, Chris. What you pointed out is all these friggin' labels that then are latched onto by the corporatist media and spun any way they want to spin it. You know, I mean, what's a Republican? People, for the most part, think a Republican is someone who believes in the Republican Party platform, which, for the most part, is about the Constitution. It would be attractive to most people identify as libertarians, people identify as Tea Party, people identify as constitutionalists, but they don't keep it. And that's the problem. And so, you know, when you tell somebody that you're a conservative, they immediately start saying, well, you know, George Bush, blah, 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 blah. You know, I didn't friggin' like George Bush. What? What does that mean? You know, it's almost like people are just so caught up in the false left-right paradigm. They're so caught up in the jackasses versus the elephants that they can't think. And here's the thing. You have to learn to think because the Republican Party is just a shell, and it's a shitty shell. It's a really shitty shell. Don't give them any money. Defund the GOP. Don't send them any money whatsoever. Don't give them any support. Find your conservative and libertarian candidates and give to the candidate directly, and don't let the RNC have any money because they will piss it away. Look what they did here. Prince Pubic funded millions of dollars to Chris Christie in New Jersey, who was already going to win anyway because the other person wasn't even – she didn't even have a shot. And I mean, well, the fact
he was
is that,
endorsed,
you know,
by Obama.
Well, yeah, he's Obama's pet Republican. But,
oh,
but
my
look,
God.
I mean, you know, what they're touting now is they're so proud of the fact that, you know, he won with women, he won with Democrats, he won with independents. You're talking about New Jersey. It is a very liberal place. So the fact that he won with all of those constituencies tells you one thing and one thing only. He's a friggin' Democrat. That's why he won. So you want to run this friggin' Democrat nationally and think that he's going to win in places like South Carolina, Alabama, Texas? What? Go ahead.
Wasn't he one of the first people to take the money for the Medicare increase,
yeah,
which as the federal government backs off, you know, it's a progressive system that,
sure,
that year after year after year you have less and less and less money, and then you have to take it over? He was one of the first people. I remember him going, we're getting rid of all the coal plants after Obama said he was going to crush the coal industry. I mean, the guy, you know, he's not pro Second Amendment. He's pro all kinds of controls. The guy's a Democrat, period, end of report.
Well, exactly. He's a Democrat. Now and here's the thing. I believe it or not, Chris, we already rolled through the first half hour of show. Folks, what we're trying to do here, okay, and then the reason you got that clips spliced together in the beginning, which included Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, Chris Krusty, the clown himself, conservative Ken Cuccinelli, and even Ronald Reagan, is because we're trying to together for you and bring you a real conservative message from the grassroots, teaching you how to get along with the other grassroots who you have more in common with instead of bitching at each other about your friggin' differences, okay, and work together to get real conservatives and real libertarians elected in the GOP, take this elephant, dead elephant husk over, okay, and roll back the statist agenda that's put forward by the Democrats and the Democrat wing of the Republican Party. That's what you have to do. We're trying to get this information out there using a simple internet technology, blog talk radio, that we pay for, and nobody knows that we're here except for the few thousand people who listen to our show, whether live or in archive. You have to get it out there. If you see our picture, and for this week it was a picture of Virginia, a red Virginia representing Republicans, where Ken Cuccinelli won all over the state, and a blue Virginia representing Democrats, where Mitt Romney lost all over the state. Which one do you want? And it's not just Virginia, it's the whole country. Okay? That's what we're trying to do. You got to click on that picture. We love that you like it, but you got to share it. You got to retweet our tweets. You've got to get this posted on other websites. You got to tell people about it. And the thing is that the show is available on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen live like you are now. Or you can go to the Tex and Rex show page on Blog Talk Radio, scroll down. All the shows Chris and I have done and the ones that I did with Tex are there. And you can listen in your browser or mobile device. And if you go below the scrolling graphics, there's a download episode link. You right-click on that. You get an MP3. You can listen to your MP3-enabled device. You can email it to people. You can burn a CD and take it to your Tea Party meetings, your Republican Party meetings, your Campaign for Liberty meetings, your AA meetings, your NA meetings. I don't care what meetings. Just take it with you. Give it to people. Get them to listen. It doesn't mean you have to like me or Chris. It doesn't mean you have to like our style or even agree with everything we have to say. But you've got to get people involved because politics is heavily involved in all of our lives. And the only way to get back to the republic that we all enjoy so we can have our liberty and live our lives the way we think we should is to put a stop to this. And the only way you put a stop to this, short of a revolution with guns, which won't be pretty and most of you won't make it, is to have a revolution within the form using the tools our founding fathers gave us. So please help us out. Go to the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook. Like the page. You'll get broadcast times and other notifications in your news feed. And follow me on Twitter, at Rex Christie, okay? And I tweet the show out too. So here's the important thing. It can only happen if you learn to get along and learn who you are. I don't care if you identify as libertarian, as conservatarian, as conservative, as Tea Party, or as a plain old Republican. Who are you and what do you stand for? And what is this party and what does this party say it stands for? And who are the candidates? And are they subversives who are going to sabotage real conservatives, or are they real conservatives who are trying to fight? And there are real conservatives in the GOP, people like Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, Representative Justin Amash from Michigan, Okay, there are people there, Mike Lee from Utah. They are champions. Now, some people say, well, I don't like Ted Cruz, he's too brash. Well, I don't like Rand Paul because he's not quite like his dad. I don't care if you like him or not. Quit applying the rules that you've been taught to apply towards Hollywood and music industry celebutards to politicians. That's not how it works. Quit following the damn cult of personality and start looking at their positions, not only their rhetorical positions and what they talk about, but what they actually do. Rand Paul gave a 13-hour filibuster to defend your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, and he's voted that way. That's worth supporting. Ted Cruz gave a 21-hour speech, not really a filibuster, but it was a speech in order to get the government funded through continuing resolutions, which is a shitty way to do it, but that's the way that they're doing it because of Harry Reid, without funding Obamacare. And that caused Harry Reid to shut down the government because he was covering for his boss, his signature piece of legislation, and they weren't going to fund anything in government until they got their way. There was no negotiations, and the Republican Surrender Caucus, led by Mitch McConnell and John McCain and Lindsey Graham-Nistie and all those other losers, caved, right, because they didn't want to be blamed for the shutdown. And then what happened? The debt ceiling is gone. Obama can borrow whatever the hell he wants from now until February 7th. The government got reopened. The federal employees who were furloughed basically got paid back, so they all took a two-week vacation, and half of them collected unemployment, and they're supposed to give that back, but they probably won't. They didn't last time. So you paid for them to have a vacation, the poor 800,000 non-essential federal employees, and then the whole point was to delay Obamacare for 1 year. And what's happened since?
Look at this mess.
The thing has fallen apart. Yeah. Not only a shitty website that doesn't work, right, but in order to ensure the 1.5 million Americans with pre-existing conditions, which there's a million ways you can do that, we've already booted 3.5 million people off their insurance, and that number is going to climb to 130 million when the employer mandate kicks in next year. So Ted Cruz was right.
The unions just got their delay. Isn't that lovely?
Well, that's how it works. When you make government so damn big, it's no longer about what laws they pass. Because they pass so many laws, every single one of us is a criminal. It becomes about, can you get the favor to be exempt from the law? This is the way it works in third world banana republics. That's why they're so ripe with corruption. It is not the way it's supposed to work here.
It's the way the USSR was before it fell. You know, Yeltsin, the whole Yeltsin thing, I mean, when Putin came in and took over and they had that transition time, all the research I've done on that was massive corruption and crime and people, you know, getting huge contracts and then taking the money and leaving the country. It was bad. You know, I know people love to beat up on Putin, but I'll tell you what, man, that guy turned that country around, and that ain't easy to do because the mess we're in right now is almost, not quite, almost as bad as the USSR was when it fell, you know, in terms of corruption. It doesn't – rule of law means nothing in this country. I think everybody with the NSA, with the AP scandal, with the Rosen scandal, with the IRS scandal, with Obamacare – you know, and what, a $600 million website? I was listening to Judge Jeanine tonight as I was getting ready for the final throws before the show, and she had a guy on there that, you know, developed websites. She had a guy on there that's going to be testifying before the House on the security issues and, ID theft. I mean, that's huge. That's the largest crime in the world, ID theft. People mm-hmm. are just living in fear. You know, and the guy made a really good statement. He says, I can get a new car, I can get a new house, I can get new clothes, but I can't get a new ID. And if somebody gets your ID, anybody you have ever known, I mean, the numbers of people who face this, I mean, we have whole industries out there about protecting your ID. And the government just put together a website that has no security. In fact, you know, McAfee was on there, and he was saying this thing is just wide open. He said, I could go in there and just set up systems and fake websites and just suck people's information left and right. And yet this thing is still being pushed, still being implemented. The Republicans have no testicles when it comes to battling this situation. This is It's criminal that a no-bid situation to a company in Canada, $600 million later, and this is what we got? We fought the Second World War in 3.5, 4 years, took on
we won.
How many theaters of battle did we have? The ocean in Japan and Russia and Africa and, you know, I mean, all over the world. We launched that machine, built it, organized it, planned it, built the equipment, trained our men up, and went out and fought on multiple theaters around the world and won in less time than Obama's had to put this stupid website together. Are you kidding me? I mean,
well, that's the difference.
It is
amazing. That's the difference. As I say, that's the difference between an industrial nation with a quasi-free market, because remember when they rolled back the New Deal crap in order to turn industry into a war machine, that's what ended the Great Depression, not the war itself, but unleashing American industry. When you have a manufacturing economy, you can do something like that. When you have a pansy-ass, sissified information and financial services economy that's not based on anything of real value, then you can't do it.
Well,
and that's why this
consumer,
thing is failing.
It's based on consumerism, you know.
And debt.
I mean, you know. I want to read, before we go on, I know you got some great clips, but I
want to
read.
No, before we get to the clips, and I want you to bring up whatever you got. Yeah, go ahead. But first, real quick, I just want to point out that you mentioned identity theft is a really big problem, and you're absolutely right. Because there is a guy right now who has this fake identity, and he actually was the biggest scam artist of all time. I mean, the biggest one in recent history. He was able to actually get elected president twice. Go ahead. Go ahead and make your point.
Did you read the article I posted about two dead people getting voted in office here in Washington State? People are stupid.
There's several hundred dead ones on the Hill right now. They just don't know it. Look at Jihad Jain Muhammad. That guy died in Vietnam.
The guys with the red glowing eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
exactly.
I want to address this thing about moderates, and compromise. Okay, first of all, and I don't know if you had a chance. I know we've both been running our butts off, but if you had a chance to listen to the Jay Leno Ted Cruz interview, but they were, you know, Jay was really nice to him. He asked him some tough questions, and Ted was his usual articulate self. But when I vote for somebody, and I vote them in because they're going to go in there and fight, and they're going to get rid of Obamacare, and they're going to do everything in their power to do it. When I vote for that person, that's what I expect them to do. I don't expect anything more or anything less. A lot of people, I think, kind of rolled over in 2012 because they busted their asses in 2010. I said the first cuss word. And, you know, and then a bunch of them got in there and rode that Tea Party wave, and then they didn't do what we voted and paid our money and our time and out there working the streets and knocking on doors and doing what you do, you know, as a citizen grassroots, you know, to get your guy elected. He gets in there and rolls over and gets in, you know, and lines right up with the rest of the rhinos. You know, and I call it the Bush era rhinos. All these people that are giving us hell, these compromisers. I don't want compromise. I want people who say, this is what I stand for. I stand for no new taxes. To not vote for new taxes. What kind of that?
Read.
You know, that's what compromise. What the Democrats
read my
want,
lips.
Yeah, well, yeah, really. First Bush. But what the Democrats want is a socialist utopia where America is a state of a larger world government. That's what they want. They want the USSR, okay, in a modern version. But here's the thing. That's what they want. So when you compromise with that, you're selling your soul. So I don't want somebody to compromise. I want somebody to be smart enough to play politics, because you have to play politics. When you look at, it's one of the things I respect about Rand Paul, is he can stand on what he believes in. He can push and fight and do the things that he does. But he's also a very savvy politician, because you still have to be able to live in that body of 100 thieves. You know, and get shit done. And that, oh, I said the second one. All right. So this is important. So I want to read this real quick, and then you can go to the clips. But this was a comment that I made and then it goes over the top of a very important quote from a founding father. And basically my comment was, I don't know why it is so difficult for people to understand that a moderate is basically an unprincipled person who checks the wind with their finger before committing to something. They don't stand for anything. You know, they're pure politician. In other words, oh, everybody's moving this way and the polls say this, so I've got to vote this way and I've got to, you know, do this time. That is no, that's no character, no morals, no principles. Now, here's the quote. A thing moderately good is not so good as it ought to be. Moderation in temper is always a virtue, but moderation in principle is always a vice. Thomas Paine, The Rights of Man, 1792. Go ahead, do your thing.
Yeah, and that's that is a very good quote, which we had obviously in the show description, and
oh,
and
you
a couple
did.
Others. And I, yeah, no, that's we're on the same page, obviously. Now here's the thing: we're going to get to that clip you mentioned when we talked about Prince Pubic on WMAL, but I think it's very important because Thomas Paine was a strong pamphleteer at the time when most colonials were Tories. They were not interested in rebelling against the crown. And he agitated for essentially what was secession and treason. And he did it so eloquently that people came on board. You know, several years, well, more than a century later, a certain conservative Republican with libertarian leanings who ran as the presidential nominee for the Republican Party and was treated just like Ken Cuccinelli, said this: I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, and let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. And that was Barry Goldwater, 1964
mm-hmm.
Republican nominee for president. You can even go for, you know, beyond that. Go a few years later. This is 1977. Ronald Reagan said this at CPAC, and I think this was the third or fourth CPAC meeting. He said, this is Ronald Reagan, "Let us lay to rest once and for all the myth of a small group of ideological purists trying to capture a majority. Replace it with the reality of a majority trying to assert its rights against tyranny." That is what we are talking about. Most Americans, whether they know it or not, or identify formally or not, or have been to a meeting or not, identify with the principles of conservatism, which is two-thirds libertarianism, as in classical liberalism. They identify with what the Tea Party stands for. They identify with what Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Justin Amash and Mike Lee are doing. But those guys and the labels are demagogued in the corporate media in order to create cover for the rhino so that they can be the controlled opposition against the Democrats, which basically is a Democrat victory any way you cut it. Whether the rhino wins or the Democrat wins, the Democrats win. And that's the friggin' problem. And who perpetuates that more than anybody? Little Prince Pubic, the current loser chairman of the RNC. This is the guy that brought you Karl Rove's 2012 monster and lost his ass to the easiest incumbent in the history of the United States to beat for president. Barack Obama should have been easily beat hands down. Karl Rove and Prince Pubic found the one guy who couldn't win. This is a 5.5-minute clip of Prince Pubic on local radio station here, WMAL, and then I've got Levin's rebuttal, which you heard a clip of earlier in the opening of the show. So we'll do Prince Pubic. Chris and I will comment on it, and then we'll hit you with Levin's rebuttal. Here's little Prince Pubic.
Well, Chairman Pubic, before you do, I just wanted to narrow down on this a little bit because we had reports about a month and a half ago that the state GOP in Virginia was taking money, and that money that you just talked about, they're sending it down ticket. They weren't giving it to Cuccinelli when he needed it most, when he was behind in the polls. And also, there's a real comparison to to the support given Chris Christie in New Jersey, who frankly hasn't needed it at all for the whole the entire campaign. Why is the National Party giving money to Christie, who doesn't need it, and why weren't they giving more to Cuccinelli?
Well, first of all, we did over $3 million to Cuccinelli. So, I mean, to pay for the ground game that the victory centers, the employees, the people that do all of the field work, the data that we get, the door knocks, that's all for Ken Cuccinelli. Sure, it's for Mark Obenchain, too, but it's for the Republican ticket, and it's paid for by the Republican National Committee. Our charge is to pay for the ground game in Virginia, and that's exactly what we did. And I will tell you that Ken himself will tell you that the ground game in Virginia is better than it was when Mitt Romney was on the ticket. It's the best ground game he's ever seen. So every opportunity that we've been asked to help out that campaign, we did, and I'm excited for today because I think that he's got a real good opportunity to win. We spent the day, or at least some part of the day on Saturday together.
Right.
And as far as New Jersey is concerned, about half of what we paid in Virginia. But the reason why you have to run the ground game in New Jersey is it's the charge of the Republican National Committee to coordinate with state parties to help run the ground game. That's all of the, like I said before, it's all of the work, the engagement in Hispanic, African-American,
right,
Asian communities. If we don't do it, Larry, there isn't anyone that can do it in New Jersey specifically because their campaign finance laws don't allow for the RGA to come into New Jersey and take soft money, corporate money, and spend it in New Jersey. So if we don't do it, nobody does. Well, in New Jersey, it's the opposite situation. They can take unlimited money in Virginia, I mean. And taking hard regulated money into Virginia is obviously not as good as taking soft money in Virginia. But nevertheless, we still spent over $3 million in Virginia.
All right, let me move on, if I could, because you've got this ground game on the ground in the Commonwealth. What is it telling you about voter turnout, and are there any problems that are cropping up around the state that concern you?
As far as the ground game itself goes and IDing Republican voters and making sure that they vote, that's what the ground game is supposed to do. I think everyone feels great about where we're at on the ground. I think we feel good, especially where we have to be strong. And the percentages are very high. As far as our own turnout and our own party IDs, we feel very good. Now, whether or not it's enough to win, I'm feeling pretty positive. But obviously, the proof is going to be in the pudding tonight.
How difficult was it to run a campaign in Virginia for governor when you're going up against Terry McAuliffe, who outspent your candidate 10-1 on TV ads?
Well, it's very frustrating, but that's where soft money, not hard federal committee money, comes in. And that's where a lot of the groups out there that raise that kind of money need to play in Virginia on television. When you look at Terry McAuliffe, it's not the DNC that's buying ads on TV, guys. It's Bloomberg. It's all of these soft money groups that are buying television ads. And that's where we have to have participation. And you can't expect the GOP to just fund with limited dollars an operation against soft money groups. But that being the case, Ken is a fighter. Ken has always been outspent, and Ken always has won. So, you know, money doesn't always predict the outcome. And I've got a good feeling about Ken's closing argument here over the last few days, and I think Obamacare blew up, and it's only going to help Ken Cuccinelli because Terry is all about it, and that's a very big referendum on the ticket today.
Reince Priebus is our guest. He's the chairman of the Republican National Committee. There's two sort of media memes going on out there looking at the Virginia race. One of them is if McAuliffe wins, it's a referendum on Hillary for 2016. And the second is if Cuccinelli doesn't win, that's a referendum on the Tea Party. What do you say to those?
No, I don't think so. I think everything's, you know, I think that all of these races have their own unique set of circumstances that all factor into the outcome. You know, you can talk about money. You can talk about the fact that it was Obamacare that helped Ken. You know, you can pick any data point out and extrapolate it to the moon. But, I think we want to wait and see what happens. And like I said before, I don't think the Obamacare issue could have come at a more perfect moment for Ken Cuccinelli, who was the first attorney general in America to actually file a lawsuit to stop it. I think that's a very good case, and I think people have heard it.
Okay.
And I think that's what's important.
Great. Chairman Reince Priebus, we know you have a busy day today with all the elections going on. We appreciate you joining us.
Keep in mind, that was before the election results, so he was speaking out of his ass. And a couple of things to point out. First of all, Little Prince Pubic mentioned the RGA in there. That's the Republican Governors Association. And guess who the incoming chairman of the Republican Governors Association is. That's right, none other than Chris Krusty the Clown of New Jersey. And his bullshit there pointing out that, you know, the RNC isn't going to go in there, the GOP isn't going to go in there and fight against soft money. Come on, pal. I mean, you identified the fact that the Democrats, including alleged independent Republican Bloomberg and other national forces, were in there spending money on television. I can't tell you how many friggin' ads there were all over the television for this thing, and you didn't counter. And then to spend a third of the money in 2009 electing a rhino so that you could say it was a referendum on Obama to make sure that Ken loses this race. They got exactly what they wanted. They wanted a close loss because that way they can say the only reason he didn't lose worse was because of Obamacare, and we're going to run against Obamacare in 2014. Well, Obamacare is Romney care, and it's Rhino care because the Republicans are the ones who let it go through this time. So they want to just speak against it while not doing anything about it, and they wanted Ken to lose so they can say, see, extremists like Ken Cuccinelli, I mean, he's so extreme that he actually thinks that the Constitution matters. He's so extreme, he believes that Virginia should govern itself on most things and leave the federal government out of it. Well, you know, in days gone by, that was definitely not an extreme position. That was just called being American, and both Democrats and Republicans adhered to it. Now it's gone the other way, and it is up to the grassroots to do it. Go ahead, Chris.
I have a question. What did he say, extrapolation, and what the hell was he talking about? This guy sounds like a bean counter.
You know, a bean counter.
When you extrapolate the numbers out, and I'm like going, what? You know, I mean, that was the biggest spin I've heard in a long time, and I hear spin every day. You know, I have to sift through this crap every day to, you know, get the good data. But, you know, basically what he said was, in some, you know, the way that New Jersey can take money and the rules in Virginia are different and we can only do so much. And the ground game, look what we did with the ground game. The ground game is people, not the RNC. It's people getting out there, knocking on doors, you know, putting signs out, you know, booking meetings, talking to their neighbor. That's the ground game. I mean, that was the biggest, you know, nonstop diatribe. Oh, my God. I don't even know. Sometimes I don't even know how to comment about this stuff because it sounds so good if you don't know what they're – if you don't know what you're talking about and you don't know what they're talking about and you listen to their bull crap, it sounds – oh, that makes sense. No, it doesn't.
He sounds intelligent. He sounds intelligent.
They spent $9 million on the last governorship. And he just explained how because of laws and rules and oh, blah, 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 that we could only do three. What? You know what I mean? Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense now. I'm sorry, but that guy drives me nuts. And you know, if you play him, you know, doing his Babylonian thing, and then you play Michael Steele right afterwards, you'll go, oh, my God, why'd they get rid of that guy? Michael
yeah.
Steele is articulate. He's sharp. He's strategic. You don't need a bean counter to figure out what people want. People want to win. They want to back people who – I mean, Cuccinelli has won by, what, 58-60% on all of his other races, you know? And I mean, the guy's always done very well without spending a lot of money. People fighting for him. People want their damn country back, okay? Yep. It doesn't take technology – you know, rents is all into technology. Technology is a tool. It is not the strategy. Oh, man, these guys. How hard do we fight to get Mark Willis elected?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. Is you mentioned, you know, how good Michael Steele sounded, and we do have that clip. But, yeah, you could have had Mark Willis. If you had Mark Willis as chairman, I guarantee you that Ken would have won, and half the Republicans in the Commonwealth of Virginia would have been told not to jump ship and go support the Democrat. And they certainly would have found a way to get the message out about the fake libertarian funded by Obama and Democrats in order to strip votes away from Cuccinelli. But, you know, you mentioned technology. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what bean counters like Prince Pubic are all into.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
That orca thing that they came up with for Mitt Romney turned out to be a friggin' debacle. Well, you said, you know, if you don't know what's going on, you know, he sounds like he's intelligent. Well, you just use a bunch of big words, string them together, and say nothing. You can sound intelligent, but he didn't say anything important. But what he did say was aggravating to anybody in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and should aggravate any conservative anywhere in the country, because he was spinning and selling the rhino line. In fact, comment, the comments that he made, the way he answered those questions, so pissed off one of the hosts or one of the personalities on that very same radio station, WMAL, that he called in when it wasn't his show. And who was that? Well, that was none other than Mark Levin calling in to rebut what little Pubic had to say. And here's 2 minutes with Levin rebutting what we just heard from Reince Priebus.
You heard what Reince Priebus had to say. Mark Levin immediately picked up the phone, and he had something he wanted to add to that conversation. Hello, Mr. Levin. How are you today?
Hey, boys. You know, I happen to live in this state.
Yeah.
So I happen to see what's going on. I happen to be at these rallies where none of the RNC upper staff take time. Why, we have 50 state races going on here. We have one competitive state. They're talking about $3 million they've spent here. That $3 million was primarily authorized and has been spent as a result of a report they put out after the election. You remember where they did an anal exam of themselves and they said, we need to have offices and minority areas. And
the autopsy they did.
That has nothing to do with turning out the vote on Election Day. You know who's manning the polls I voted at? My neighbors. You know who's getting people out here? Church groups, Tea Party groups, activists, conservatives, taxpayer activists. That's who. The RNC isn't anywhere here. They haven't been on the air. It is infuriating to me. Is this what the Republican Party's going to do when it comes to the next big election? They are fooling themselves.
Mark Levin, the big question here then is, how does it compare to what kind of get-out-the-vote effort Terry McAuliffe is getting from the DNC? I mean, what is the DNC doing for Terry that you see out there?
Listen, all this stuff is great for tomorrow. My attitude today is get off your ass and vote. I don't care what Larry Sabato has to say. I don't care what Real Clear Politics has to say. Reince Priebus showing up the weekend before like he did in New Jersey. In case there's a victory, he could talk about his great ground game. And if there isn't, complain about the candidate. I am sick and tired of these guys positioning themselves. I live in this state. I purposely don't live in Maryland. This is a relatively free state, and it will cease to be so if they win. So my advice is, forget about all the status. Get off your ass and vote.
All right.
Well, and could you tell us what you really think?
There's never...
As far as Reince Priebus goes, how about a little bit of truth, pal? How about a little bit of truth?
All right. Mark Levin already on fire, and you know he'll be on fire from 6 to 9 tonight. He'll be doing, of course, the Mark Levin Show, but then covering the election.
I love Levin.
He's not only a fiery radio show talk host, and so, you know, we can relate to that. But he's actually a conservative. Now, some with more libertarian-leaning tendencies tend to think he's a statist, and others think he's an extremist or whatever. But the simple fact is he really is a conservative, and he beats up on the Republicans for not being conservative, which is a good thing. But in addition to that, he lives here, like I do. We know what's going on, and this is not just about the disaster that we have to endure for the next 4 years in the Commonwealth of Virginia, but this is the lessons learned from Virginia and New Jersey are going to play out big time in 2014 all across the country. Now, there's a couple of things to keep in mind. Number one, the House of Delegates, which is the lower house, like the House of Representatives, in the Virginia legislature in Richmond, had 68 Republican seats. Today we have 67. Now, that means that we've got a two-thirds supermajority in the House Republican. And that shows you how messed up things are when a conservative like Ken Cuccinelli cannot win in a state that reelected a conservative Republican House. It means something really stinky was going on. And it's going to be the same kind of crap that's going to play out in 2014. And Mark Levin was right. You got to get out there and vote. Now, some people say, oh, the voting machines are rigged and the duopoly has control of everything, and that's all true.
Could make him freaking
but they can only rig close races. When you make it a 10-15% victory, they can't fake that. And so you've got to turn people out. 90 million Americans didn't vote in the last presidential election. And gubernatorial races like the one we have here in Virginia only get about 30% the turnout you get in the presidential election. So turnout is huge. And that's up to the grassroots. What Chris said earlier, it isn't money that is the ground game. It is people. And you are those people. If you're listening to the show, you are the people. Not only do you have to do the work, you have to get others involved. Now, some people say, oh, I'm not really that into politics, or I don't have time to do this. Well, you better get time to do this, because these people are going to come into every aspect of your life, turn you into a criminal, and if you don't comply, they're going to confiscate your property, they're going to throw you in prison or a FEMA camp or whatever. So you've got to get involved. You've got to get other people involved. And the very simple fact is conservatism is attractive to people if they are told what it is and they can identify the candidates who are really conservative. You have to make it happen.
Well, yeah, I just think that, you know, it goes back to what I said earlier when I was doing the analogy, asking the questions, and then, you know, going, then you are Tea Party. You know, you have to get past the noise and the crap and think about what's going on in your country. Do you like the NSA spying on everything that you do and say? Do you like the IRS, you know, targeting groups regardless if they were conservative or Christian groups or Tea Party groups? Do you like the fact that somebody can use the arm of the IRS as a political weapon? No? Well, then you're Tea Party. It really, you have to stop and think for yourself. That's really what this is boiling down to. When I look at Virginia, and you made a very good point, because they kept a supermajority in the House, which shows, and when you look at the map that's on your Facebook page, and you look at the Cuccinelli win, he won 80-some percent of the counties. You know, it was across the board. Where he lost was those high concentration mega Democrat centers, and they were still winnable when you look, when you pull up. You know, I love those interactive maps where you can scroll a county and you can actually see the numbers, how many voted for, you know, the Dem, how many voted for the R, and how many voted for the other guy, and you can actually see the numbers. And when you look at that, it was so flipping close. And there's nothing frustrates me more, because I hate politics. I don't even know why I do this crap, except that my country's falling apart and somebody's got to do it. But when you look,
and you got a big
clump, the numbers, like, yeah, no kidding. But when you look at the numbers that vote during midterms, 30-35%, I want to ask people, what the frick are you doing? What are you waiting for?
Well, Dancing
you know
with the Douchebags is on. I got to watch Dancing with the Douchebags, Chris.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, you know, it's just frustrating to me. You know, when you look at countries across the world and countries that, you know, break bad governments down and become a democracy or whatever they call themselves, and you look at the numbers of people that get out and vote, you know, I mean, it is just frustrating that, you know, and this thing that you were talking about, oh, it's all rigged anyway, all bull crap. We wouldn't even hold elections if it was rigged. Yeah, you know, they can play with the machine and they can play this, but what you said is key. It has to be extremely close for them to fudge the numbers. If people get off their asses, okay, that's the third time, I'm up for three now. If they get off their butts and go down and vote in overwhelming numbers, they can't fudge those numbers. You know what
yep.
I mean? Because you're overwhelming it. When you get a race that is as important as Virginia is, and it's 30% of the people got out, 35%, I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong with the other 65%? At least 35% did it, but, you know, 10% more people would have got out, and Cuccinelli would have wasted it.
Or if some fake Republican wasn't stealing votes. I mean, the fake Libertarian, not fake Republican.
Yeah.
Fake Libertarian. But, yeah, no, you bring up a good point. And the other thing is that people need to be aware that the ballot access rules and the voting procedures are state issues. Okay, you have to get involved at your state level and change that. If you want more candidates to have access, you've got to change the rules. Now, the Republicans and the Democrats control every precinct. In fact, there was a poll that showed that Sarvis was somewhere above 10% in the polls, and if you are above 10%, you should be allowed in the debates, and they excluded him from the debates, which is the kind of bullshit that they do to people like Gary Johnson and Virgil Goode and Jill Stein and all that kind of stuff. And I don't like that at all. Of course, I also don't like the fact that this libertarian wasn't really a libertarian, but nevertheless, you know, have him in the debate. But the simple fact is that in Virginia, we managed to change some things in the right direction because we do have a conservative, grassroots-oriented House of Delegates. For example, and this is what you have to do in every state, for example, the requirement for signatures to get someone on the ballot was cut by half. It was cut by half after Gingrich and Santorum had some problems getting on the ballot. Remember, in the 2012 primaries here in Virginia, we had douchebag Mitt Romney and Ron Paul. And Ron Paul got over 40%, okay? But Gingrich and Santorum weren't on there because of these requirements, which were dropped. Also, when I went to vote this year, I noticed we only had one voting machine in each precinct, only one computerized voting machine. Everything else was a paper ballot. Of course, they're, you know, optical scanned, but that's a step in the right direction, and that's what you have to do. You've got to change the rules to make the ballots more open, more write-in, more access to other parties, because other parties will actually force the Democrats and the Republicans to actually stand for something instead of just being the state, because that's what they are right now, the statists. It's the statist parties, and basically you get your choice of, do I want to be screwed by this guy with the donkey, or do I want to be screwed by this guy with the elephant? That's your choices. Now, here's the thing that I want to point out also. Okay, a lot of people were like, oh, Cuccinelli sucks, and I'm not going to vote for him. I'm going to go with Sarvis because I'm more libertarian-leaning. Well, if you're going to go libertarian, go libertarian. Don't just vote for the Libertarian Party because they tell you the guy's a libertarian. This guy wasn't really a libertarian. Ron Paul, who's much more of a libertarian, and Rand Paul both endorsed Ken Cuccinelli, not Sarvis. So here's the thing that you have to understand. When you have a douchebag, loser, rhino, liberal Democrat like Mitt Romney stealing the nomination, by all means, vote for another candidate. I did. But when you have a real conservative like Ken Cuccinelli, don't throw your vote away on a fake libertarian. That doesn't make any sense because all you do is elect a Democrat. So you got to have a little bit of discernment here. There's nothing wrong with voting your conscience when the guy at the top of the ticket is a liar like Mitt Romney, who only speaks severely conservative, when he's the guy that built Obamacare before Obama, and he's a liberal Massachusetts Democrat who voted for Paul Tsongas in the primary up there. So, yeah, by all means, don't vote for the Republican ticket when they run douchebags like that and let them know, I vote, but I don't vote for your rhino. But when you have a real conservative, turn on, vote for the guy. Who cares about the Republican Party? I don't care. I don't like the elephant. I don't like the Republican Party. You know, when I was old enough to vote, the candidate was George H.W. Eat My Shorts, No New Taxes, Bush. I hate the Republicans. But when I have someone like Ken Cuccinelli as an option, that's a real conservative. I'm going to support him. When I have a Ted Cruz or a Rand Paul or a Justin Amash or a Trey Gowdy, I'm going to vote for the Republican candidate. That's what you have to do. You got to figure out who these people are, not only how they talk, okay, but what they actually do. When you look at people who talk a lot and say the same thing over and over again in the same stupid Fox News shows, then you got to see, does their rhetoric match what they do? But then you have people who talk for 13 hours or 21 hours straight and then actually do that stuff, people like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. You support them. You have to support them on everything that they do. But they are certainly moving the ball in the right direction. A lot of people say, oh, I don't really like the way Ron Paul sounds. I don't care if you like the way Ron Paul sounds. Do you like what Ron Paul has to say? A lot of people say, well, I don't like what Newt Gingrich did. Really? You don't like what Newt Gingrich did? Newt Gingrich stopped Obamacare, Romney care, whatever care, when it was Hillary care. Newt Gingrich forced a liberal Democrat during a government shutdown to come back and get you four balanced budgets. Granted, they're baseline budgets, all right, but they were the closest thing you've seen to a balanced budget since World War II. He reformed an entitlement program, welfare. He gave you the biggest tax cut in history, capital gains tax cut, as opposed to the biggest tax hike you've got now, which is called Obamacare. And he was able to force a liberal Democrat who's smarter and more capable than the loser in the White House now to come out and say the era of big government is over. Well, I mean, obviously that didn't happen, but that's what Bill Clinton said because of what Newt Gingrich forced him to do. So the idea is not simply about winning seats for a party. It is about winning for conservative principles and moving the ball in the right direction. And in 2010, Chris, in 2010, it was a huge win for conservatives within the Republican Party. Granted, a few non-Tea Party people snuck through like Marco Rubio, but it was huge. And the Republicans took advantage of it, and then they appropriated it. But that was done on Michael Steele's watch. And Michael Steele was a far more capable chairman than Prince Pubic, and certainly Mark Willis would have been more capable than Prince Pubic. But I got the same radio station, WMAL. I got 5 minutes with Michael Steele, and that was after the election. There's another one that I found on Daily Caller, which I couldn't upload, but if you want to hear it, just go to the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook or join Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia on Facebook, and we've got all the clips and videos there. And anytime you see the show out there, if you click on the pic, in the comments section I put all the articles and clips that we use so that you can reference them later. And remember, you can keep sharing the show after we air, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, because it's always available in archives. And you got to get this message out there, and you've got to do it now. 2014 begins now. And if you don't win these midterms for conservatives and libertarians, not just the Republican Party, then 2016 is going to be one hell of a difficult battle if we make it that far. That's how important this is. So get off your asses. If you're active, thank you. And I hate to do this to you, but you got to do more. But more importantly, you've got to get others involved. You've got to get others to do the work. Here's Chairman Steele.
Joining us right now, he is the former Lieutenant Governor of Maryland. He is the former chairman of the Republican National Committee and former co-host of mine when Brian Wilson is on vacation.
Yeah.
He's Michael Steele. I like to call him affectionately my chocolate dome, Michael Steele. Thanks for joining me this morning.
You are a sick man.
That is a bona fide and well-accepted fact.
Chairman Steele, I don't know if you've been hearing the debate. It's really been happening right here on our program over the last few days between Reince Priebus, your successor at the RNC, and Mark Levin, our colleague here at WMAL. There's a big argument about what support or how much support the RNC gave to Ken Cuccinelli in the Virginia for Governor race. You put a whole lot of money into the McDonald for Governor race 4 years ago. In fact, some people even criticize you that you put too much money in. Where do you stand on this, and what would you have done had you been the chairman of the RNC during this election?
Well, you know, the circumstances are probably a little bit different today than they were at the time 4 years ago, but I certainly would have made a very concerted effort, just like we did then, to get the resources on the ground. We started very early in 2009, about April or May, sat down with McDonald campaign, laid out the map, where we wanted to open offices, and we began to invest that money. So the thing that kicks me is that I'm getting criticized now for doing what we did then as the reason for not having success now. So in other words, because I spent $9 million on McDonald's campaign, as one RNC source said, we were hard-pressed. We didn't have the cash in 2011 and in 2012. I'm like, what are you talking about, idiot? So, you know, blaming what we did. Which was very aggressive. There were two high-profile races in the country, Christie's and McDonald's.
Right.
I sat down with the RGA, and we worked out a strategy. Because of the campaign finance laws, it was easier for me to take some of the investment that the RGA would make and put it into Virginia. They focused on New Jersey. We put about $4 million into New Jersey. The rest we put into Virginia, and we won both of those because we were very.
But hold on a minute.
I
got to follow up on here because, I mean, look, if you're the chairman of the RNC, you've got to look at things. You've got to say, where can the money do the most good?
That's right.
And if you look at the situation in the polls, he was like 12, 14 points behind Cuccinelli was.
Yeah.
And, I mean, don't you, as the chairman of the RNC, say, you know what? My heart's with you, Ken, but quite frankly, you're so far behind, I'm not sure that it makes a lot of sense to spend that money.
No, you don't do that because there's other information that you have. It's not just the polling that you're looking at. You're looking at the organization. You're looking at the cash on hand. You're looking at the The volunteer structure. There are a whole lot of other pieces that go into
it. Well, and also, I'm sorry for interrupting you. You're also, don't you take into account the fact that Cuccinelli was having a big problem raising money for himself?
Sure,
I mean, you had the advantage of
absolutely.
Having McDonald being a really good fundraiser.
But you're not in a two-state race, and only two races in the country. You're not going to write off one of them just willy-nilly. You're going to have to engage at some level in some degree.
And do you think that's what they did? Do you think they wrote off Virginia?
I don't know what they did. I really, honestly, I don't know what they did or what decisions that were made there. I just know in talking to a lot of folks on the ground, a lot of the base folks, that's the feeling that they have. So, you know, for me, I probably would have done things a little bit differently. I'm a very aggressive political operative, and I take the risks. And I live in a risk-reward world. That's what a chairman does. And you have to make a call. Look, I got criticized, Brian, for spending money on state legislative races. The RNC up until 2010 had never done that. They would not put money into a race for the state legislature because they were all about the federal campaign. As a former county and state chairman, I know that's where the action is. If you want to turn your opportunities, You get the next generation in line right now. And look what happened. If we hadn't put the money into a Wisconsin, Scott Walker wouldn't have had a Republican legislature to do what he needed to do in his state. We flipped 11 states putting those investments in. So those are risks you take.
Michael's still taking credit for Scott Walker in Wisconsin. Now, Ryan Priebus is definitely going to love you doing that, Mike.
My watch is my watch.
Ryan's Priebus on line three.
I want to change this up real fast because, you know, you're spending so much time on MSNBC right now. You must be having a great time watching Obamacare roll out because you and many other Republicans back during your time at the RNC were warning that this is exactly what would happen.
Are you there?
That was Chairman Steele. And like you said earlier, he sounds a lot sharper than Prince Pubic. Why don't you go ahead and take it?
Well, I've listened to several of his videos, and I actually did some research a while back. There's a book that he wrote on all of this that I have not read yet, and I want to read it. But here's something. Let's go back to the 60s. Let's go back to the Goldwater era. We've been through this before. Let's go forward to the Reagan era. We've been through this before. There is nothing new under the sun. And the only difference that I see today is a lack of involvement of the people who are suffering under this administration. 5 years of this stuff, of government expansion, $1.2 trillion a year, over budget, or over tax receipts. I mean, over budget, you know, we could have that discussion. You know, massive corruption, the most transparent government in our history, attacks on people, attacks on whistleblowers, you know, the drone king of the world, everything that's gone on in the last 5 years. It is amazing to me how tolerant people are of this. And I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't know what's happened to people. I don't know if they're just overwhelmed. I don't know if they're, you know, another 10 years of programming and people are just, you know, are truly become sheep, you know. But none of this is difficult. The Democrats are running scared. Obamacare's a mess, and you have all the other scandals, you know, NSA, IRS, blah, blah, blah. The Democrats are running scared. You've got senators and House reps that are up, well, all House is up for re-election, but you have senators up for re-election, and they're scared to death. There's like, 16, 17 of them that voted for, promoted Obamacare, and it is a mess. Then you go over to the Republican side, and what happened coming out of the end of the Bush debacle was a sweeping, you know, they swept control of the House and the Senate, and there was a lot of people lost their jobs. But there was a lot of them that didn't, that held on to their jobs, that are from that era. And that's who we're battling. It isn't a majority. If you look at the polling or you look at, you know, the House or the Senate, or you look at people's voting records or what people are standing for, the Republicans who stood up and said, you know, we're going to stop this Obamacare thing and get it, you know, defunded, get it delayed for a year, whatever the, you know, whatever their strategy was. And you look at that, that's a majority of people in that House. But they can only do so much because of the power structures at the top of those two different houses, whether it's McConnell and McCain and some of the, you know, the old timers, or you go over to the House, you got Boehner and Cantor and those groups. There's, it's a small percentage. Priebus is way, way over his head. I have no idea how he got reelected, honestly, especially with the rule changes, the things they did in Tampa. I just think that everybody put all
He does his best work on his knees, and I don't mean praying.
God, getting out there now. here's the thing. I think that people put – they had such a scare. There was the whole strat – and you and I have talked about this on radio shows. We've talked about it one-on-one. There was such a massive fear campaign run, you know, that anybody but Obama, you know, setting up for Romney, a Romney win. And it was this whole thing of, oh, my God, the world's going to end. The sky is falling, Chicken Little. I think people when Romney lost – well, first of all, when he stole the primary, I think that just really took the wind out of people's sails. And then when he lost the election against a guy he should have beat hands down because he never even fought, I think a lot of people just kind of went, oh, crap, what's the use? But this is what it's about right now, going into 2014. Sorry, I was going to say 2010. This is what it's about. We have – When people like Rand and Cruz and Amash and Gowdy, you know, who's just a kick in the pants, you know, when those people get so much energy behind them and they're the minority, you know, underneath this power structure that's holding them down with a boot on their neck, and they have made such a splash in the last 6, 8, 9, 10 months, that shows you, and the attacks on them shows you how afraid the establishment is. These people who fund these people have taken our industries overseas, our technology companies overseas, our banking systems are a mess. These are the people who fund these crooks at the top of the pile. And you cannot let this go on because they will sell this country until we do not have – you said it earlier in the beginning of the show about the manufacturing system and the industrial nation this country used to be. We've made things. We have a $50 billion a month trade deficit. $50 billion a month. You got a Fed chairman that's dumped trillions of dollars into the system that still hasn't filtered down. The inflation hasn't even begun, even though we have had it. You know, there are so many factors that are going to impact people's lives. You don't have a choice anymore. As much as you may be burnt out, frustrated, scared, don't know what to believe, you know, you just got to hang in there, baby, like the cat, you know, hanging on the toilet seat. You know, you've got to understand that 2014 is actually in many ways more important than 2012, because if Romney would have won, we'd still have Obamacare. We'd still have quantitative easing. We'd still have offshoring our country, because that's his whole mantra. I don't know if anybody ever researched the guy, but I did. You know, his companies, you know, how he governed. I'm like going, there was no difference. I mean, that's basically what he said in the debates. Yeah, I agree with that, but I would do it a little bit more. I mean, that was it. I mean, he was telling you right there that they're the same.
Yeah. Except one, I'm the same as that other guy, but I'll just I'll manage it better. Thanks.
Well, one's a corporatist and one's a socialist. You know, which is, you could argue are the same things. As
hardly a difference.
But anyway.
Hardly a difference.
Yeah, not much.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Not much of a
difference. Look, here's the thing, and I think what Michael Steele pointed out was very accurate. He does things with a certain graciousness, and he doesn't speak ill of little Prince Cubic there.
Yeah, I caught that.
You know, because he's a gentleman. And look, you had a chance to replace him with Mark Willis, and Mark Willis knows that the only way the grassroots are going to succeed is if you fire all these entrenched consultants. Look, these consultants that are advising the Republican political campaigns, these guys are interested in one thing and one thing only, a friggin' payday. And they get a better payday when they use technology and statistics and run reactionary campaigns rhetorically against whatever the Democrats say, instead of putting forward what conservatism really is. And that's why Republicans and conservatives, and even libertarian conservatives, get painted with this brush that we are just, backwards reactionaries who just hate everything that the Democrats do, and it's because we either are racists, or we live in the 1950s, or we're adhering to some documents some old dead white guys wrote almost 2.5 centuries ago, and it's outdated for a modern technological nation, blah, 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 all this kind of crap, because we fail to say what conservatism really is for. We fail to put the case forward about why it is a better way of doing things. And you said that it's, nothing new under the sun. Well, that's true. And let's just go back a little bit. Go to 1960. In 1960, Senator Barry Goldwater's name was put into nomination for the Republican ticket. And he lost to Richard Nixon. Now, Richard Nixon at the time was fairly conservative in his approach. Of course, when he got elected and Kissinger got in there, you got crap like the EPA and OSHA and all that other garbage. But nevertheless, what Goldwater said was, he was gracious and he decided to get behind Nixon because there were a lot of points of agreement. There were some significant differences, but there were massive points of agreement. When Barry Goldwater won the nomination, the Rockefeller rhino wing of the party at the time, this is in 64, crapped all over Goldwater, the grassroots, called us extremists, called us bomb throwers, and all this other stuff that they're doing now, and the Republican Party pulled their support from Goldwater, who went on to a spectacular defeat, not because he was wrong, not because he didn't appeal to a wide swath of American voters, but because the party structure didn't support him. Again, this also highlights that this is not a new thing. This didn't just come about because Barack Obama got elected. Remember, the Tea Party started when George Bush was president because of TARP. And actually, you can go back even further. The same thing happened in 94 with contract with America. So the simple fact is the fight between the grassroots conservatives and the Eastern establishment Rockefeller rhino wing of the party has been going on since the days of Abraham Lincoln. So it's nothing new. Is there a civil war? Yes, there's a civil war. The Republican Party always has been. Hey, the Democrats had a civil war too, and the new left took it in 68, and they've been running that playbook since. Now, the important thing to understand here is this highlights
You mean the Socialist Party took it over.
Yeah, exactly, the Democrat Socialists. Friggin' hippies put on suits and are now, running the hippie playbook right out of Karl Marx's Das Kapital. But here's the thing, Alinsky's book. Yeah, but the important thing to understand is that you do need a party organizational structure. You are not going to build one before 2014 or 2016 outside of the Republican Party. It's not a practical thing. It might be a nice idea. Maybe we can, that's a way to have no rhinos in our ranks or whatever. But that's not going to happen. So there's two things to look at. There's pragmatism, which is merely about gaining a seat at any cost. And there's realism, realizing that if you can't win, then even if you win the argument, you've got no power to affect change or change back or whatever it is that you want to do. So first you have to win the argument. Then you win the votes. But you can't win the argument because it's right without having the structure to put seats in power to affect what the argument is. And what Newt Gingrich says is don't run their guy, our guy against their guy. You have to run our vision against their vision. Well, the problem is that if you read the Republican Party platform, that vision is relatively conservative. Probably not as libertarian as some libertarian-leaning conservatives would want, but it's probably something anybody who's not an ANCAP or a Rothbardian or an anarchist could probably live with, certainly compared to what we have now. The problem is that the Republicans are not adhering to that platform, and that's what you have to change. And the only way you change that is you have to make them fear you more than they fear their consultants and the guys who make the technology programs and the rhinos like Jihad Jaden McCommod and Lindsay Lightness Loafers Gramnesty. And, they're going to try to force you to take Jeb Bush. Oh, No, Rex, they're trying to force us to take Chris Christie. No, they're not. First of all, Chris Christie's not going to run. He's not going to. This guy is merely using national politics to secure his position in Jersey. He's not going to run. First of all, they're going to blame, like, why'd you run as governor of New Jersey and then abandon your post 1 year later in order to become president? So, but the idea is that they're running the vision of Chris Christie the Clown so that they can get you to take a Jeb Bush Marco Rubio ticket in 2016.
Well,
and that's what 2014 is about.
He's the reasonable guy.
He's a compromiser.
That's how they push.
Yeah, but the thing is that Christie in his speech, right, he said, you know, I work with the other side. You know, I'm in a Democratic state, and we managed to get things done in Trenton, but you don't abandon your principles. The interesting thing is he never tells you what those principles are. They're supposed to be the principles that the Republican platform talks about. But the guy is
he's
anti-gun.
Local news. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but okay, let's face it. He's anti-Second Amendment, right? He's anti-Second Amendment rights. He's a pro-gay marriage conservative Catholic Republican. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. You know, I don't care what your position on that issue is. What I'm saying is that somebody who tells you that they are one way and then legislates or governs another way, that's a lie. And so look at someone like Ted Cruz. You might not like his positions per se, right? But he's doing what he said he was going to do when he was running. And that's what you want. You want a politician who will actually do what you elected him to do. If someone doesn't agree with it and they lost the election, hey, that's the guy. That's what the guy got elected to do. You know, that's what they keep telling us with Obama, right? And they say, well, you know, Obama was reelected on Obamacare, so obviously everybody wants it. Well, but the Republicans were reelected in the House, which controls the purse strings also. So it isn't that simple. And we saw that play out in Virginia, and we saw what the Republican Party wants to play out in New Jersey. And you got two choices in 2014. You can either go the New Jersey way, forget about it. You go the New Jersey way, you run a rhino, you will probably lose, just like you did with Romney, with McCain, with Dole, okay? And if you do win, what do you think you won? You got a guy who's going to run the Obama playbook after Obama's gone, and he's going to do it as an elephant. That's ridiculous. That's not a victory. And you have to know what the values are.
That's an invasion of the party. I don't know why people don't get this, or maybe they do, and I'm just frustrated or whatever. But this is not. These people, this was an invasion of the party a long time ago. And you know, something that hit my mind when you said the Dole and the McCain and the Romney is a lot of, you know, you hear a lot of people's perception of George Bush, but we've shown and played clips of him running. And when he ran as a conservative, as a no new taxes, as a smaller government, and non-interventionist. In other words, running around the world being the policeman of the world, he was against that. So when he won and ran, he won as a conservative libertarian. And then
he ran as Ron Paul.
Yeah, then we got attacked, and he turned into a neocon and then started spending money like a French whore. You know, I mean, it was insane the amount of money that he spent. He broke all records. So
until Obama.
I don't know if it was him or it was his, you know, cabinet or the people behind him. He was over his head, you know, or whatever the case may be. But the man who ran and the man who governed were two different people.
Yep, that's absolutely true. But let's keep in mind a couple of things. Yeah, but Chris, let's keep in mind a couple of things. Sure. George Bush in 2000 ran as a non-interventionist. He ran as a conservative. Right, he ran as the heir to Reagan, even more so than the heir to H.W. Bush. Right, and it seemed to be the way things were going. But even that superbly run campaign by Carl the Architect Rove against a dipshit wooden loser like Al Gore had to be decided by the Supreme Court. It wasn't even a good victory. And then in 2004. The only reason he ran was because we were in the midst of a war, and for the most part, Americans don't like to switch up commanders-in-chief in the midst of a war, and because John Kerry was just such a douchebag, and he barely won. In fact, and here's a very important lesson, George Bush would not have been reelected in 2004, and you would have had John Kerry, which means you probably would never have seen Barack Obama, but nevertheless, he was reelected, even though he lost votes in every demographic except for one, conservative, pro-life, Christian voters. What that tells you is that a Republican candidate who's actually conservative cannot win without the conservative Christian vote. Now, you can't court that vote only rhetorically and at the expense of every other conservative and libertarian demographic. But by the same token, you cannot abandon, quote, the social issues and expect to win. If you want to be the pro-gay marriage, pro-abortion, pro-drugs, pro-open borders, pro-war party, you might as well be Democrats. Okay? Now, here's the important thing. Just because a candidate like, say, Ken Cuccinelli himself is pro-life doesn't mean you only vote for him for that issue. Because the issue of preventing abortions in this country is no longer a political issue. That was decided 40 years ago, and you had your shot and you blew it. And the Republicans haven't done squat about it in 40 years. And the fact is you've got multiple generations born post-Roe v. Wade that no matter what the law is, they're going to live a certain way. Your job, if you're truly a pro-life person, is to change their hearts and minds, not elect assholes like Rick Santorum who are going to try to hold guns to people's heads to stop them from having abortions. It won't work. Okay? Think of it this way. Hard drugs like heroin and cocaine and even marijuana, which isn't that hard a drug, but it's kind of a gateway, have been illegal in this country for generations. Yet more people are addicted to this shit now than they ever have been. So just because you make something illegal doesn't mean that you're going to prevent people from getting to it. Prohibition didn't work. More Americans were drinking during Prohibition than they were before. Okay?
And it was the biggest crime wave in the history of our country.
Exactly. Now, by the same token, you don't legalize things that are inherently bad, right? But you can decriminalize them. Okay, you don't legalize drugs like they do in Amsterdam because that causes all sorts of a problem. And look at what's going on in Colorado, right? They passed an end to marijuana prohibition, per se, right? And now they want to tax the hell out of it. Well, that's just going to drive it back underground.
Stinks.
People don't want to pay 40% tax. That's just stupid.
Yeah.
But you don't have to criminalize it. You don't put a kid in prison for 10 years because they got caught with a dime bag. That's just stupid. So there are certain common sense things you can do without legalizing evil activity. But you don't criminalize all of it because people make mistakes. But that's why we have a federal structure so that each state can figure it out based on their population for themselves. But when the federal government gets involved, you get a one-size-fits-all solution, and it's usually about more control to the feds and exemptions from laws for their friends, no matter which party
it
is.
And you can never adjust anything. You can't reform anything when the government runs it.
There's too much money to be made for them to change anything. That's why Washington, D.C. is the party of the status quo. They want to keep things exactly the way they are. Oh, that's not true. Rex, Obamacare is a change. Not really. This is precisely the fulfillment of what they've been doing since World War II. Most of the problems that we've got in our so-called health care system and our insurance system were because of crap the Democrats did 60 years ago. What we need to do is undo the original root cause of the problem, not pile on more government crap on top of it and make it worse and get people less access and make things more expensive. But that's the choice you've got. Do you want to go the way of New Jersey, which is going to be a loss for Republicans and definitely loss for conservatives and libertarians, or do you want to go the way of Virginia and follow a real conservative, a real libertarian, a real constitutionalist to victory? Oh, but Ken lost. Sure he did. As long as you've got your own party working against you, it's going to be very tough to win. But Ken almost pulled it off, and that's a huge deal. Now, when you have people that tend to toe the party line coming out speaking against these rhinos, you know shit's getting real. I mean, Rush Limbaugh was not necessarily hot on Romney, but he was certainly supportive towards the end in that race. right? Even he has lost his mind over this crap. Here's 3 minutes from Rush Limbaugh, which is, I think, a pretty powerful turning point in the way the grassroots movement is going.
I don't like playing the coulda, woulda game, and I don't believe in moral victories. You lose or you win, and that's it. But having said that, folks, do you realize what could have happened if the Republican establishment would have supported Cuccinelli yesterday, in addition to him winning, I mean? The GOP apparently didn't want to win Virginia because they didn't want the Tea Party getting credit for it. But we can also add to that, I think we have to be honest and say, that they didn't care about repudiating Obamacare either, because if there was a place to plant the flag in opposition to Obamacare in the midst of this rollout, it was in that election. I can't tell you how frustrating this is. Here the country is just abandoning Obama and Obamacare as fast as they can on this. And here's a race where the albatrosses of Obamacare is hanging around McAuliffe's neck. If the Republicans had gone in there and secured a Cuccinelli victory, do you realize Obamacare would have gotten the blame for McAuliffe's loss? And do you know what that could have done? That could have caved the Democrats in Obamacare. Now stop and think about this. This is why this really frustrates me, what happened there. Because if Cuccinelli wins, everybody's going to blame Obamacare for McAuliffe's loss. They're not going to blame McAuliffe. They're not going to blame the Clintons. They would blame Obamacare. And imagine the Democrats running for re-election next year see what happens to a Clinton bagman. He loses an election where he had all the money. He had all the support. He loses an election because of Obamacare. Can you imagine what that would have done to other Democrats and their support of Obamacare? It was a chance to plant the flag by the Republicans against Obamacare, to drive a stake, maybe, a little one at least, through the heart of Obamacare, and the Republicans didn't take the chance. No, that's the wrong way to put it. The Republicans didn't take the opportunity. Now, we know that the Republican establishment did not want the Tea Party being credited for any victory. We know that the Republican establishment is happy that the Tea Party get blamed for the loss. But can we also say that the GOP establishment didn't care about repudiating Obamacare? Because they clearly had a chance. The Republican Party could have really dealt a huge blow to Obamacare by helping Cuccinelli win, and they didn't.
Whew. And it's not just the Republican Party. It's not just the RNC. All right, for example, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the Chamber of Commerce spent $1 million boosting Bob McDonald back in 2009. They spent zero supporting Ken Cuccinelli. Why wouldn't they support Ken Cuccinelli? Well, Ken's tax proposal was going to eliminate all the wonderful corporate welfare for the large megacorps and actually make the system a little more fair so that small and middle businesses in Main Street would actually succeed. See, the thing you have to understand about corporatists is that they don't have any party ideology. They don't have any political skin in the game vis-a-vis the direction the country goes. All they look at is a profit and loss statement, and they want more profit. Now, they don't want more profit in the sense of, hey, how do we serve the market? How do we benefit the most people with high-quality products and services at the best price? They say, how can we create a market? How can we secure a market, and how can we monopolize or cartelize a market? And the only way you can do that is with government force. When you have a candidate like Cuccinelli who comes out and says, you know what, I'm going to make the system more fair so that taxation doesn't punish small and mid-sized businesses, the big ones say, well, if you don't punish them, they might actually outcompete us, and then we lose market share, so we don't want that, so they don't support the candidate. And the only way that money works in these campaigns is when you have low-informed, inactive, lazy voters who are swayed by television commercials and pamphlets. What you need is more highly informed voters with a ability to discern and to judge what's going on and to be more active, not just 2 days before the election. You got to get involved earlier. And when people are more involved and more aware and know what's going on, which is up to you if you're listening to the show, you're the one with the burden of having to tell them. You can just as if you can't articulate it, that's quite all right. Just let them know, hey, look, I have a different perspective. Listen to this show. Just give them that idea. But that makes that reduces the power of money in these elections. If you actually want campaign finance reform, you're going to have to elect people that don't rely on massive amounts of money from these big corporate donors. And the only way you're going to get that is people power. Get out there and make it happen. It is totally up to you to do it. No one else is going to. You have to be the one. It's your job. And if you want to roll these people back, that's the only way to do it. What did you think of what Rush had to say, Chris? Chris, are you there? Oh, I guess I'm on my own.
I had my mute on. I was typing and reading articles as we were going here, just making sure there's something new that hadn't come out. I think Rush nailed it, and it was good to see him frustrated. And what I like is the fact that, contrary to what Rince Priebus said, is they didn't do anything to help Cuccinelli. You know, like you said, you know, their technology and some things they did for some down ballot, that was all, you know, that helped Ken, you know. Mm-hmm. They actually went out and got key Republicans in the state to actually endorse the Democrat. Now, let me tell you who this Democrat is. He's the guy that was renting out, the Lincoln bedroom?
Yep.
I can't remember. Yeah, the Lincoln bedroom. He also has three outstanding investigations into his business practices right now. Okay, and this guy was actually endorsed by some of the Republicans in the state. So if you don't think this was a dirty deal, then you're asleep. This was, and I know we're spending a lot of time on Virginia, and people are going like, oh, why do I care about Virginia? Because, I mean, you know, you're on the other side of the continent from me. I don't give a crap about Virginia. But it's important. Sorry. and those molehills you call mountains. But the thing that's important here is the pattern, what's going on behind the scenes, what the grassroots did, how hard they fought and worked to get this guy elected, who has, like I said before, is won by 58% to 60% in every other office that he's held. I mean, this was a popular guy. And they spent a fortune lying about him to destroy him, and then you have the Republican establishment actually countering against him and withholding important funds to counter those ads. That stuff's expensive. Ground game is good, but you still got to be able to buy ads. The other thing is the money they spent, some of the stuff they spent, instead of doing, and what Rush was saying, instead of doing Obamacare ads, they were doing ads on China. I mean, like, who gives a crap? You know what I mean?
That's Bobby Jindal did that.
Yeah,
that was Bobby Jindal,
because
he's the chairman of the RGA.
I know, but it's just that whole concept of who in the hell is strategizing how to win? Because obviously they either are just total idiots or they don't want to win. That's the thing that you have to figure out. I know what my opinion is. They didn't want to win. They did not want Cuccinelli to win. And they're willing to lose put your country at risk. It's just like the whole Obamacare situation. Oh, we voted 40 times to repeal it, knowing full well that Harry Reid would never take that bill out of the desk drawer and never allow it to come to the floor in the Senate, which means 40 wasted votes. Newt said a long time ago, in fact, that interview that he had with, what's her name, the radio, Laura Ingraham. He had a very important interview that a lot of people probably didn't hear, or they heard it, but they didn't hear what Newt was saying. All these appropriations and these, you know, doing all these individual bills, you don't do that in a shutdown. You do that 6 months before the shutdown. Newt told them how to run this fight against Obamacare. They didn't listen. They all sat on their butts, or at their golf course, or at their favorite club, you know, getting drunk. I mean, most of these guys, all you got to do is look at their eyes. Their eyes are just bleeding red. And and what they did was all of a sudden, you know, Harry Reid shuts the government down. You know, Cruz does his filibuster, which really wasn't a filibuster. It was a very articulate conversation, very similar to what Rand did. It was an education moment. And then they reacted to it, and then they ran around and tried to do what Newt told them to do and what Newt did back in 94, 95 against Clinton. But they did it as a reaction instead of as a advanced strategy. And that is so indicative of everything I see, you know, except for the primary. Boy, they had a strategy there, and they put everything they had into getting Romney to win. You know, the whole fear thing, the whole anybody but Obama, all that stuff was all planned strategy to make Romney the nominee, which goes back to when he folded against McCain. You know, you need to get out of my way. You're next. Not who's the best, not who's right, not where's our country, not, you know, how are we going to save our damn country and our economy, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was a mess. I mean,
well, Chris, the same mechanism you have working with corporatism or fascism or corporativism, whatever the hell you want to call it, when large private businesses want to secure their market share, they use government force to get it rather than compete in the marketplace. You have the same mechanism working within the Republican Party. These consultants and these technology providers and these data list miners, these people are making millions and millions of dollars to run campaigns, and they're managing it in a way that ensures their future paycheck, not necessarily the outcome that the voters want. And so that's why they were able to mount a successful campaign against the conservative candidates in the primaries and then mount a successful loss against Obama in the general election. So it's not that they're incapable of running campaigns. It's that what kind of campaigns are they running? And they don't want to listen to someone like Newt Gingrich, and they don't want someone like Ken Cuccinelli to win, because those kind of candidates are going to roll back government, and they're going to give more people more power and more local autonomy, which is actually going to reduce the necessity of these high-priced consultants and lobbyists within the party and within government. So they're looking out for their own interests. They don't give a damn about country. They don't give a damn about ideology. They don't give a damn about principle. They don't give a damn about anything other than their paycheck. That's why Eric Cantor's chief of staff was able to jump ship and endorse McAuliffe instead of Ken Cuccinelli. And remember something, that pissant Eric Cantor, the number two man in crying, tan, useless beef jerky John Boehner's house, is from Virginia.
With a 30% conservative voting record.
And that's only so that he has something to talk about when he goes back home in Virginia. That's the problem. But the only way that you can out-compete these, you can't outspend these people. So, I mean, just give up. I'm not saying don't contribute money to your candidates. Your candidates need money.
They print money and hand it to them, you know.
Right. Yeah, so you can't outspend them.
All flows.
But like Reagan said back in the 60s and 70s, it's an education and information campaign. You've got to get people informed. Let me tell you something. I was going to the polls, right? And I checked out the ballot several weeks in advance, and I did my research so I would know how I was going to vote. Now, obviously, you have your choice of a fake libertarian and a corrupt socialist Democrat who worked with the Clintons and supports Obamacare, and a real grassroots Tea Party-type conservative constitutionalist. I'm going to vote for that guy. So I checked it out. I also checked out who I was going to vote for sheriff. Do you know who your sheriff is? Do you know the job of the sheriff? Do you know who's running for sheriff? Now, I voted for the guy who was not a Republican or a Democrat because he was the only one who actually talked about what the real job of the sheriff is. Remember, the sheriff is the only elected law enforcement officer you've got, and he's also the only one empowered to arrest corrupt politicians, which is why the parties like to control your sheriffs. You got to know these things. And but by the way, we're about to lose you live listeners. If you want to listen, you can listen to us in archive or call in and listen on your phone, 646-649-1013. In about 1 minute, your browser or your mobile device is going to Blog Talk Radio is going to cut you off, but you can listen on your phone. So call in 646-649-1013 or just go to the Text and Direct show page on Blog Talk Radio and listen to the archive later. We're going to wrap up shortly. But when I went to vote, I was there, and both campaigns for the Republicans and the Democrats were handing out sample ballots so that I would know how to vote. Well, if I don't know how I'm voting before I go to vote, do I have any business going to the poll? I mean, am I just going to go pull the lever for the R's or the D's or the elephants or the jackasses, or am I going to know who these people are? That's how you win. You win by being an informed voter and getting other people to be informed voters. Then those stupid commercials don't have as much of a factor in the race because you're not running based on the subliminal messages you got all day long about which party's better, trying to hit you with all those Frank Luntz-tested, focused buzzwords. You're actually informed. Your job, if you're listening to this show, is not only to be informed yourself, but you've got to get other people informed. Because an intelligent voting public who knows the issues, knows the candidates, knows how the Constitution works, knows what's going on in their state, can't be swayed by slick ads. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I think you're right on. I think that we're almost beating a dead horse on this, but it's important because of what's to come. This is the pattern of what's going to be happening in 2014. You can't just, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, I read an article that they voted two dead guys in the office here, probably because they'd been on the ticket, and they had. They in the article talked about, you know, this person had been in office forever. So they just, you know, went in and just voted the name. You know, probably an R or a D, and they just went, oh, yeah, I recognize that name. Here we go. And I'm thinking about every day in this country, whether we talk about the economy that has not improved, about the trade deficits, about the battles we've had for our personal freedom with the NSA and the Second Amendment and all these other issues, about how, you know, the numbers of people, the jobs, and all the part-time employees, all the students with their massive student loan debt that can't get jobs. And I'm thinking, you know, I mean, I'm old enough to have lived through multiple recessions. We've never had one like this before, at least in my lifetime. And I've never seen, you know, quantitative easing, which most people don't even know what the hell that means. Most people don't even understand what the Fed is. The fact that it's a private corporation that prints money out of thin air, that lends it to the government and charges us interest, which is it causes inflation, and inflation is a hidden tax. I mean, a lot of people just don't understand this stuff, and they just go down and they just check the box. It's like when you said, I had not heard that before, but they gave you a sample ballot. Here's who to vote for. I mean, my God, help me. Help us, man.
Scary,
get informed. Huh? It's freaking insane.
You should have seen the look on their faces when they go, would you like a sample ballot? I look at them and I go, if I didn't know who I was voting for before I got here, do you think I'm qualified to vote? They don't know how to react to people who know what they're doing.
And it is, you know, we go deep and we do a lot of research and put a lot of time into this, and mostly because we want to educate people, but it isn't that hard, you know, if you just take your state and your people and get on the damn internet and do some research and do some background research, you can figure it out pretty fast what they stand for. I don't think, you know, I think that Americans are very uninformed on a lot of the issues of, you know, like a lot of people thought it was Republicans shut down the government. Well, that was stupid, you know, and that only occurs because people watch mainstream media. I have never been a media watching person, you know, and as far as that goes, I watch more of it today than I ever have because we do political shows, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm listening to people I have no desire to listen to, but I want to know what people on my side are saying. I want to know what the squishes are saying. That's moderate for those who don't understand that word. I want to know what the left is saying, and I want to know what the hard left is saying. Because they influence people, and I have to know what they're saying because I need, number one, I mean, I don't spend a big chunk of every day of my life trying to figure out what I believe and what I stand for because that was decided decades ago. You know, and mostly what I do now is try to figure out what's being said and how things are being spun so that I can help educate people on how to use their brains and read through the bullcrap, just like the Rince Priebus interview. If you don't understand what he's really saying, he sounds good. I mean, I mean, Chris Matthews, I'm sure to somebody who doesn't have a clue, sounds intelligent because he's not stupid. You know what I mean? And that brings me to a thing about Ted Cruz, and I don't know if we're going to have time to play any of this stuff, but, you know, one thing I respect about Cruz is that he put himself out there. He did what his voters, the people who voted him into office, asked him to do. He put himself out there, and he's been attacked by both sides, the Dems and the R's, you know, the elites on both sides, nonstop, and the guy gets up and faces it down every bloody day. Now, that is respectful, whether you like his personality or, you know, whatever, his religious views or whatever. The fact that he is doing what he said he was going to do, and he stands and he toes the line and takes the battle every single day. And that I respect.
Yep, and he was actually just on The Tonight Show, which is not exactly friendly territory for conservatives, but he did a pretty good job. We actually have those clips, but we've kind of run out of time. We'll bring those next time. One of the things that we really want to focus on is, what is conservatism? What is a conservative candidate? Mm-hmm. Where do conservatism and libertarianism overlap? How can we work together? And we'll try to get into that next time, but we couldn't miss this opportunity, given what just happened in Jersey and Virginia, because this is what the Republicans are going to use as their formula for 2014. And you got to keep in mind that if you keep the House the way that it is, it's a crappy House, because John Boehner's got to go, and Eric Cantor's got to go, and Steve King has got to go. These rhinos have to go. But at least with a majority Republican-controlled House,
actually, a few of them probably should be committed.
Yeah. Probably.
Sorry.
The conservative wing, the so-called legislative arsonists, actually have some power. But if you want to increase that number of the conservative wing, then you really got to play hard in 2014. If you want to knock down, which should be very easy, these Democrat senators that are up for re-election because of Obamacare, what you want to make sure you do is replace them with conservative Republicans and primary the hell out of the others, like Lindsey Graham and Bob Corker, okay? Because if you win the majority, or at least more of a majority in the Senate, but it's with guys like McCain and Graham and Corker, you haven't won anything.
God.
Mitch
no.
McConnell gave Harry Reid and Obama everything they wanted, and he's
and
up
more.
For re-election.
And
fire
more.
That son of a bitch. Exactly. So, you know, that's the battle.
What he
the
put
battle.
In that bill.
Yeah, it was all sorts of goodies for these assholes. So just keep in mind, whether you like Chris Christie's brash personality or not is not the point. Whether he's better than the Democratic opponent or not is not the point. That's Jersey's issue. The real question is, do you want a federal government that actually has conservatives and libertarians in it who are rolling back its unconstitutional power? Or do you want people like Chris Krusty the Clown from New Jersey who actually don't give a crap about limitations of power so long as they're the ones managing that power?
Bingo.
I got
or
final
managing
clip
the
of the
decline.
Night. Yeah, final clip of the night before we go to final thoughts. We might as well hear from Chris Krusty the Clown himself. This
oh,
is him on Meet the Press. It's about 2 minutes, but it kind of shows you how again, I don't really think the dude's interested in running for president, but he's certainly interested in being a player in presidential politics. So, you know, here's a couple of minutes on him.
Some of that criticism already coming from the likes of Rand Paul or Marco Rubio. They write this: if Christie does run for president, this exactly the line of attack his Republican rivals will pursue. This guy is not one of us. He's from New Jersey. His state has legalized gay marriage. He's expanded Medicaid, and he's expressed some gun control and pro-immigration reform views. What's the question? Are you a moderate or a conservative?
David, listen, I don't get into these labels. That's the Washington, D.C. game and what all those men and women down there play. Look at my record. We're spending less today in 2014 fiscal year than we did in 2008 in real dollars. We've cut business taxes by $2.3 billion, 143,000 new private sector jobs, reformed teacher tenure to put accountability in the classroom for the first time in 100 years, and reformed a pension and health benefits system, an entitlement system in New Jersey, to save $120 billion for the taxpayers over the next 30 years. judge me by my record. That I'm very, very comfortable with. All the labels, that's for the folks down in Washington, D.C., and obviously they love playing that game, but the people of America aren't interested in that game, and I think given the approval ratings in Washington, they've shown that.
And yet the Wall Street Journal about your economic record concluded this in an editorial Wednesday. It's the biggest area of disappointment, failing to improve the state's economy. The state jobless rate is still 8.5%, among the 10 highest in the country. It's true, they write, that he inherited a mess, but Mr. Christie will need a new reform agenda in 2014 to impress national GOP primary voters going into 2016.
Well, we're going to continue to do the job that we've done already, David. We've brought unemployment down 1.5%. We've created 143,000 new private sector jobs in a state that the Wall Street Journal did admit was an absolute mess, the highest taxed state in America when I got there, and we've improved that situation. But I never said during my reelection campaign that the job was done. If the job was done, I wouldn't run for a second term. Why bother? Just ride off into the sunset. We got a lot of work still to do, and we're going to continue to do it. But that's why I asked for a second term in 4 more years, to go and keep at it and lower taxes, continue to control spending, and continue to improve economic opportunity in our state. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
On Obama.
Well, notice how they always try to throw in Rubio if they mention Cruz, or Rubio if they mention Paul, because they got to keep their little backdoor rhino and keep giving him his Tea Party creds. But you notice, you know, Christie was trying to pivot away. Well, this is what I'm going to do as Jersey governor, and I have a great record as a conservative. Well, if your record is being a conservative in a state like New Jersey because you're not as fucked up as the Democrat, that's not really a conservative.
Sorry.
I dropped the first F-bomb. Luckily, it was towards the end of the
show. I never drop it, so go ahead.
But I'm just Krusty the Clown just burns me up because he stinks like Romney. I mean, yeah, he's got a more personable style. I kind of like his bravado, which, you know, Romney was dead weight. But nevertheless, the dude's not a conservative. Now, maybe if he wasn't in New Jersey, he would be, but I'm not willing to run that risk when I have real conservatives that I can support. But the important thing to remember, and we'll go to you comment on this clip, and then we'll go to final thoughts, Chris. We'll just roll right into it. But the important thing to remember is there are two choices here. Yeah. You either go the way of New Jersey with a big government rhino like Chris Christie, or you go the way of Virginia with a limited government conservative like Cuccinelli. Go ahead and comment on Chris Christie.
Well, and I can't tell you what his record and how much of what he was spewing was true or not, but I know that one thing for sure, with being one of the first guys to jump on this Medicaid entitlement that the government had handed out there, that that's going to be devastating to the state in a couple of years. He can brag all he wants about this, that, and the other, but he put his state in a terrible position coming down the road. I mean, that state was so bureaucratical that anybody who did any kind of reform at all would look like a king, you know. And so, but like I said, I haven't got into his record real deep because that's on the other side of the country for me, and I never really paid much attention to him at all in the beginning. So maybe someday down the line I'll actually do some research on him, but I don't believe him. But one thing that he said that really frustrated me is 24/7 in this country, Christians, conservatives, Tea Party, whatever you want to call them, are attacked and beat up 24/7. And what was his response? Oh, well, that's not important. That's just what people in the government like to, you know, worry about. I don't worry about those kind of labels. Bull crap, he doesn't. That right there was a total spin.
Yep.
You know, it is the number one conversation in this country since 2010 is how do we destroy the Tea Party? That's the bottom line. You know?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. That was what jumped out at me too. Is this the fact that, you know, he plays that's just a Washington game. Well, no, it's a countrywide game, and it's not about labels. It's about who are you as a candidate. Are you a party first guy, or are you a principled conservative/libertarian who wants to actually undo the parts of government that are extra constitutional, and do you actually want to perform the proper enumerated powers of government as they should be? I mean, right now everything's backwards. The things that they're supposed to do, they don't do, and the things that they're not supposed to do, they do. And that's why you have to change. And you're not going to change it with guys who cooperate with the enemy. You're not going to change it with a guy like McConnell who cooperates with Harry Reid. You're not going to change it with a guy like John Boehner who cooperates with Nancy Pelosi, whether he's the minority leader or the majority leader. It's just that simple. Chris, we're 10 minutes into overtime, so why don't we go ahead and go to final thoughts, and then we'll close out with a pretty powerful rant from Mark Levin. You know, it's kind of odd that us two amateur radio hosts are playing clips from other radio hosts, but when they're spot on, they're spot on. I don't always agree with Levin, but on this one he was spot on, and he has a particularly acute insight because, like me, he lives here. So we'll close out with that, but why don't we go to your final thoughts first?
Well, I speaking of Levin, I was not a Levin listener in years gone by, and mostly because he wasn't on my local talk show format. And somewhere along the line, in fact, I probably, if you would have said his name a couple years ago, I would know who he was. But I have listened to him a lot lately. And what I find interesting about Levin is not just, he's not just a radio show host. He is a constitutional attorney. He was in the DOJ, in the Department of Justice. I mean, the guy knows his game, and he's very intelligent. If you read his books, he's one of those guys that writes one-paragraph sentences. You know, that's my oversimplifying of it, but he's a very, very intelligent man, and he can let loose. I tend to like a good rant. Somebody who gets fired up and can, you know, go off, but he's also spot on 99%.